What does it mean to be joyful? I remember a commercial about 15 years ago or so. I can't remember the product that it was selling, but it had a man in it who was describing his life. "I have everything a man could ask for," the man said, a big smile on his face while he stood next to his family. "I have a brand new car," the man said, standing next to his car, the smile still going on his face. "We built a house not long ago in the best part of town," he then said, showing his new house in the background. "It has a nice pool for our kids to swim in," he says, smile becoming a little bit more tense. "And a big yard out front," he yells over the lawnmower that he's riding on, the smile obviously even more tense. "And I have two teenagers that get to drive," he says, the smile obviously strained now. "But I have only one problem," he says, while walking out to his car. "I am up to my eyeballs in debt, and I can't pay my bills." That's how joy is often expressed in much of the outlets that we see. Joy comes from things or from situations. We want others to think that we're happy, so we go to extreme lengths to show that we are happy or joyful. But when those things grow old, or when we can't reproduce the situations that made us happy, we find that underneath there is just emptiness. Situational joy is not real joy. It is the sometimes dangerous cousin that we call happiness, which is determined by what is going on around us rather than what is inside of us. When we pursue happiness and not joy, we find ourselves getting busier and busier, or buying more and more things, or looking more and more to other people to provide for our sense of contentment, like the fellow in the commercial that we just mentioned. But deep, abiding joy comes from a different place altogether. Author Artis Whitman wrote an article that was published in Reader's Digest not too long ago. And he said that joy is not likely to come to us when we are going round and round the tormenting circle of our own busyness. Instead, it seems that when life's transiency and frailty are omnipresent, when we approach sickness, when we approach death, when we approach the things that cause us to grieve, that's when the things that we have grow sweeter. The joy that we have grows sweeter. He goes on to write, "I remember finding myself seated beside an old gentleman on a train some years ago. He sat quietly looking out the window. His eyes searched each leaf, each cloud, the lines of passing houses, the upturned faces of children watching the train go by. It is beautiful, isn't it?" I ventured at last, intrigued by his absorption. "Yes," he said. Then he smiled and waved a hand at a passing hay wagon. "See," he said, "hay going to the barn." And he made it sound as if there could be no greater event than a wagon load of hay on its way to the mow. He saw the question in my face. "You think it's strange," he said, "that just a hay wagon means so much. But you see, last week the doctor told me I have 3 months to live. Ever since, everything has looked so beautiful, so important to me. You can't imagine how beautiful. I feel as if I had been asleep and had only just woken up." That is joy. It goes beyond our circumstances. and opens us up to something transcendent, something holy in our midst, sometimes even in the most mundane places, and reminds us that we are not alone. We have a fellow traveler, God. That is what the psalmist has written about in our reading for today. The situations that he's writing about are not happy situations. He's been in the presence of enemies. He's been in the midst of illness, each of which seemed to have carried the writer to death's doorstep. Whether it was real death or something that felt like death, that's really not relevant. It felt like death, like emptiness, like isolation. And rather than give in to the torment of the night, he says instead, joy comes in the morning. That kind of claim, even in the midst of turmoil and strife, comes from a well deeper than the man from the commercial that we heard about. It comes from a place of presence. And that's what our joy as Christians is all about. We live as those who have woken up, like the man on the train. We see God's presence not just in the things that go well, not just in the things that we have, not just in the items that we're able to obtain over the course of our life. We see God's presence even in the most mundane things of life. And instead of a sense of emptiness, instead of a sense of hopelessness, we see in the normal routines of life something of God's presence. And we see a sense of hope that transcends our circumstances. That's why recognizing joy as a relational muscle that must be built, must be exercised, is so important for us as Easter Christians living in the world in which we live, because we live in a world that increasingly tells us that happiness comes from how many likes we get on comments we make on Facebook, or how many people respond to our latest Instagram post. We live in a world that tells us that if we're not getting the smiles and the hugs from those that are around us, if our circumstances are not going well, then something must be wrong, and it's okay for us to find a lack of joy in our lives. We live in that world. It's transactional joy. It's transactional faith. When things are going well, God is good. When things are not, what did I do wrong? Joy comes from a well that is deeper than those transactions. It comes from the knowledge that in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the trials that come our way, we can still find joy in God's presence. And when we can speak that joy from the deep wells of our life and the deep wells of our experience with God, we can speak hope into a world that wants to choose hopelessness. We can speak joy into a world that wants to find despair. We can speak new things and new life into a world that has sometimes given up on the world around us. We are called to be joyful people, not happy all the time with big smiles on our faces. We are called to be joyful people living in the knowledge of God's presence in our midst. And when we live in that kind of joy, we point others to the fact and the reality of God's love and God's grace among us. I was speaking to someone not long ago in one of the groups that I'm in, who was talking about how he often encounters people in difficult situations in their life. And when they get into those difficult situations, because they have not been living out and practicing faith and pondering the deeper things of life, when life gets difficult and they need to dig deep in the well of God's presence, because they haven't dug before, they can find nothing there. As Christians who have walked through trials, like David walked through trials, as Christians who have walked through different and difficult circumstances, losing loved ones and losing those who are near to us, and dealing with broken relationships and still holding on to that faith that God is in our midst and God is present with us. We have something to say to those who have no well that has been dug. We can point them to the reality of God's love and God's grace in our midst. I think of the disciples who, after they had gone through the betrayal and the denial and the crucifixion, and after Jesus had ascended into heaven, began to think of the ways in which they could celebrate God's presence in their midst, came back to the last meal that Jesus shared with them. And in the midst of desperate moments for Jesus, in the midst of confusing moments for the disciples, Jesus shared a meal with them. And he said, "I've longed for this moment that I can share with you." And he told them, "This is my body, and it is broken for you. This is my blood, and it is shed for you." As those who partake of communion, those who partake of the bread and the cup, those of us who on a weekly basis we have the opportunity of sharing in the bread and the cup and the remembrance of Christ's presence with us, that is the source of our joy. Life comes with its rhythms and its routines and its difficulties and its challenges and its moments of great celebration and happiness. But because we live in the knowledge of the presence of God, we know that Jesus looks at each one of us in the eyes. And he says, "This is my body broken for you. Find joy in my presence. This is my blood shed for you. This is not the end of you. Find joy in my sacrifice." So may we live in this place, inside of these walls, as joyful people, with a well dug deep of God's presence and God's provision in the midst of all that life has brought us. And may we live beyond the walls of the church as a light to the rest of the world. People who live by the joy of the presence of God in our midst. God is among us. The turmoil and the weeping are for the night. But joy comes in the morning. Let us pray. Our God, we are so grateful for the life and the ministry of David and the things and the poetry and the joy that just poured out from him in his psalms. We're grateful for this psalm that reminds us that it's not the joyful and happy moments of our lives that the real joy of life comes from. It's from your presence. May we, as we partake of communion today, be reminded that we experience your presence in one another, in the body that was broken for us, and in the cup that was shed for us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite our deacons to come forward as we prepare to serve communion on this day. At Central Baptist Church, communion is open to any and all who claim Jesus Christ to be their Lord and their Savior. In sharing communion with one another, we are proclaiming to each other and to those who are sitting next to us and those who are sitting across the sanctuary from us that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are people of the resurrection, and we remember the presence of Jesus Christ in each other's midst. So may we remember that on the night before Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." And that after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." God, we are grateful for this bread and for this cup and for their meaning in our lives today. May we live as people of joy, for you are present with us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.